Says the Gemara, Prokim Shoyel. If you remember, we said in the Mishnah that Bein HaProkim, you can be Shoyel Mipnei HaKovoid and Meshiv. Now, what does that mean, Meshiv? Meshiv to who? Meshiv Machmas Mai. Ileima Mipnei HaKovoid. If you're going to tell me, it means you can respond for Kovoid reasons. Hashta Mishal Shoyel. If already you're allowed to be shoyel mepnei hakavod, ahadurim miboye, do I need to be told that you can respond? It's a kal v'chayma. It must be at a shoyel mepnei hakavod, u'meishiv shalom l'chol adam. Presumably, when you come to responding, it can be downgraded and you can respond to everybody. And what about in the sefer? Amos sefer, it says, u'behemtza, if you're in the middle, then you can only be shoyel mepnei hayira, u'meishiv. Now, what does that mean, meishiv? Once again, same question. Meshiv machmas mai. Ileima mepnei hayira. Hashta mishal shoyel, if you're allowed to ask. Mepnei hayira. So isn't it obvious? Ahaduri miboya. Elo mepnei hakovoid. So it turns out that both bein aprokim and beemtza aprokim, you can be shoyel, you can be meshiv, but when you meshiv, you can downgrade. Well, the problem is, hainu d'Rabbi Yehuda. That is exactly the second opinion of the Mishnah. How can that be the first if it's the second? The Tanam, because it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Oimer be'emtza shoyel pnei hayira, u'meshiv pnei hakovoid, downgrade. U'beprokim shoyel pnei hakovoid, u'meshiv shalom l'chol adam, downgrade. So basically, it's not clear what is the difference between the two opinions. Says the Gemara, chasuri mechseri v'hochi k'toni. This is what it is supposed to be stated. Beprokim shoyel mepnei hakovoid, and indeed, ve'ein sarech loimar shehu meshiv. Yes, the Gemara is stressing that indeed it's a superfluous chiddush, it's not a chiddush at all. U'behemtza shoyel mepnei hayira, ve'ein sarech loimar shehu meshiv. So according to Rebbe Meir, whoever you can ask to, you can also respond to, there's no difference. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's always a downgrade. Be'emtza shoyel pnei hayira, u'meshiv pnei hakovoid, u'beprokim shoyel pnei hakovoid, u'meshiv shalom l'chol adam. Okay, Tanya Nami Hachi, similarly we have learned in a brisa, hakoyre es shema u'poga boi raboi ohigodol himenu. If you were reading Kriya Shema and you were met by your Rebbe or somebody greater than you, then beprokim shoyel pnei hakovoid, ve'ein tzarech loimar, again, the Mishnah, the Brisa over here is stating quite clearly that this is not a chiddush, it's an ein tzarech loima. Ein tzarech loima means it goes without saying. Shehu meshiv. And be'emtza shoyel pnei hayira, ve'ein tzarech loima, shehu meshiv. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, it's always a downgrade. Be'emtza shoyel pnei hayira, u'meshiv pnei hakovoid, u'prokim shoyel pnei hakovoid, u'meshiv shalom l'chol adam. So it looks a bit complicated, it's actually fairly simple. The bottom line is, according to Rabbi Meir, Shoyel and Meshiv is always the same. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you could be Meshiv to one degree lower, and we pass Kamaik Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Boi Minei Achei, that was his name, Tana Debei Rebechia, Mir Rebechia. He asked the following question of Rebechia. Bahalel Ubamegila Mahu Sheyafsik. When it comes to Halel u'Megillah, are you allowed to be Mafsik? Until now, we've spoken about being Mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. What about when it comes to Halel or Megillah? Now, what is the discussion? Mi Omrinon, do we say that it's a Kal V'Chaima? It's obvious you can. Why is it obvious? Because Kriya Shema is Do'eraisa. Kriya Shema is min haTorah and Poisik. You are indeed allowed to be Mafsik, as we've just said. So Halel derabbanan miboya? Question mark. Do I need to be told that Halel, which is only mid derabbanan, you can interrupt? If you can interrupt a deraisa, then obviously you can interrupt a derabbanan. That's one side of the coin. Oidilma, or perhaps not. Maybe pirsume nisa odif. Maybe to an extent, the Derabbanan, ironically, is actually more stringent than the Deraisa. How can that possibly be? And the answer is, Pirsumei Nisa. The halacha of Pirsumei Nisa, which is by Megillah, we know it's by Hadlokas Ner, Chanukah, etc., etc. We find in many places in the Gemara that Chazal took Pirsumei Nisa extremely seriously. The issue of being Mefarsim the Neis is extremely serious. And here you have a classic case in point. It may well be that even though Megillah is only a Derabbanan, but will actually be more Machmir, incredibly, in Megillah than we will for Kriya Shema. Even though in Kriya Shema you're allowed to be Mafsik, but perhaps in Megillah not. Why not? Because it is a issue of Pirsumei Nisa. So that's the question. Amalei, so he responded, Paisik. Yes, it's a good shaila, but at the end of the day, Paisik ve'ein bekach klum. Indeed, you can stop and be mafsik, and it is exactly the same as Krishma ve'ein bekach klum, no problem. Omar Rabba Yomim Sha'ayochit Goymer Buenos Ahalel. On those days that you finish Halel, when is that? The entire Sukkos, the first day of Pesach, the entire Chanukah, and also first day of Shavuos, which is either 18 days or in Chutz La'aretz is 21, extra day Sukkos, extra day Pesach, extra day Shavuos. So on those days, Bein Perek Leperek Poisik, Ben Tza Perek, Einoi Poisik. But the Yomim She'ein HaYochid Goyma Ben Esahara, when is that? Rosh Chodesh, or the last days of Pesach, it's less Chomor, and therefore Afilo Be'em Tza Perek Poisik. Really? Eini? Is that really true? V'horav bar shvo ikle legabei de Ravina. He once came to Ravina v'yomim she'ein ha'yochid goymer es ha'halel hava. So surely he would have been allowed to have interrupted to greet him. V'loi posikle. Says the Gemara somewhat strangely, sha'ani rav shvo d'loi choshev alei de Ravina. Ravina didn't consider him choshev. If you remember, we saw a tremendous discussion in Tosfos with regard to Halel generally, on those days that you do not complete the Halel, what we call half Halel, which is not really half, but on those days a half Halel, do you say a bracha or not? And remember, what was the discussion? In one line, the discussion was, because half Halel is only a minhag. So here you have the big question, do we make a bracha on a minhag? The bottom line is, big machloikas, the Shulchan Aruch paskens la'alocha you do not, the Ramah paskens la'alocha that you do, and that is our minig of Bnei Ashkenaz, that we do say a bracha on half halal on Rosh Chodesh, even though it's only a minhag.
Is this, by chance, his response, or his lack of response, could that be saying he's holding like the first opinion and not like Rabbi Yehuda? In other words, he won't interrupt for anybody. He'll only interrupt for someone who's chashuv.
Oh, I see. Could be.
Maybe not.
Okay. Bo'i minei. This, I think, was almost the last Gemara, the second last Gemara that we learned. Bo'i minei ashion tonet be ravami me ravami. Hasharui betainis. Somebody who finds himself in a state of fast. Mahu sheyitoim, is he allowed to taste? Now remember, we saw a discussion. What is tasting? Tosfos said quite clearly, tasting means you spit it out. We saw others of Shulchan Aruch brought, even if you don't spit it out. Achila v'shtia kibel olea v'holeka. Would you say that he was only ever makabel on himself, eating and drinking? And this is not eating and drinking, this is just tasting. Or he don't know, perhaps no. When he was makabel the tanis, hano'o kibel oleo v'ho'ika. He was makabel on himself hano'o. And l'chari, this is at least hano'o. It might not be achila, but it's at least hano'o. Says the Gemara, l'chari, the way we learned last time, actually neither of the above. Omalei toyem ve'ein bekach klum. You can taste and there's no problem. Tanya nami ochi. We have a braisa. It says, mat'emes, if you are tasting something, eino tu'uno brocha. Vashor betanis again toyen ve'im bekach klum. And how much? At kamor of amirasi tomi ad shiur revisa. So if you remember, we saw a terrific discussion in the Rishonim, in the Rosh, in the Rambam, a big, big machlokes. Bottom line is, in the Shulchan Aruch, we saw two opinions with regard to brachos. Remember, we saw the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Brachas. We saw the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Tanis. In Hilchas Brachas, we saw one opinion that says that if you don't taste it, if you do not swallow it, rather, if you do not swallow it, then you do not make a bracha, even if it's a revius. We saw another opinion that says, no, even if you do swallow it, you don't make a bracha, but only if it's less than a revius. With regard to tanesim, the bottom line was that you should not taste on a tanis, definitely not on Tisha B'Av on Yom Kippur, so too, essentially, at least according to the Ramah, on other tanesim. The last halacha we saw there was that under extenuating circumstances, to wash out your mouth and to hold your head in a downward direction is permissible. Now, I'll give you a classic case in point, and this happened to me this week. For some reason, I don't quite know why, it's not very well known, but the Mishnah Berurah says quite clearly that Rov Kehilos fast on the first day of Slichas. For some reason, this is not a very well-known halacha. But this is my family minig. So on the first day of Slichas, which was 3 days ago on Sunday, I was fasting in the morning. It's only a half-day fast. Like on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Shulchan Aruch says you should fast. So now, when I woke up in the morning, so my question is, of course, can I brush my teeth and wash out my mouth? So I'll let you into a little secret. I was makel for myself. Because the whole inyan of fasting an erev on the first day slichas is not a clear halacha. It's maybe a minig. It's not even a prevalent minig. Even according to those who do have that custom, such as myself, it's only half day. So I certainly felt comfortable in relying on the opinion that says you can wash out your mouth if you hold your head in a downward direction, which is not such a big chiddush. If you remember, we saw that essentially, if somebody's really betzar, even on Tisha B'Av, that's mutar. So even on Tisha B'Av it's mutar, kal v'chaymer other fasts, kal v'chaymer when the fast is only a minig, kal v'chaymer when it's only half day, kal v'chaymer when it's not even the common minig. So to say that you can't brush your teeth first thing in the morning when you're fasting first day slichas, in my opinion, would be a tremendous, tremendous chiddush and a chumrah, and I see no necessity to be machmir. The same, by the way, would apply on Erev Rosh Hashanah. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, where I think it's more commonly known, the Shulchan Aruch says quite clearly, you should be fasting half day. So again, if somebody wants to brush out his mouth in the morning and feels extremely uncomfortable not to do so, there's certainly very big room to be makel. Again, providing that you hold your mouth in a downward direction, which is probably the way you anyway brush your teeth, making sure that you don't swallow anything. Okay, says the Gemara. This is the final piece of the Gemara that we did on our first trip round. Omar Rav, kol hanoisein shalom lechaveiroi kodem shiyispalel ki'ilu osei bomo. If you say shalom to your friend, remember we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, it's particularly with regard to the word shalom, which is the name of Hashem. It's as if you made a private mizbeach, which is awesome. Shenem achiblu lochem min ha'odem asher nashoma ba'apoy ki bameh nechshavu. Al tikri bameh elo boma. Ushmuel Omar bameh cheshavtoi lezeh veloi leleika. Why did you give chashibus to this person by greeting him before you've spoken to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mosiv Rav Sheshes, but didn't we just say the prokim shoyel mepnei achavoy dumeshiv? Tere Gemara Baba bemashchim lepiskoi. When we said you shouldn't say shalom, we're talking about going over to somebody to say hello. Either going to his door, if you remember the Mishnah Berurah we saw, even if it's not going to his door, but it's going from one side of the shul to the other, that's when you shouldn't greet him. Shoyel mepnei akobah that we saw in the Mishnah is not talking about that. There it's talking about where you bumped into him, he's right there. Omar Avidi Ba'ovin, another halacha, which we also saw. Omar Avidi Yitzchak Barashian, Osir Leila Odom. The person shouldn't do his desires or any of his personal dealings. We saw in the Shulchan Aruch, essentially, you shouldn't even be traveling before you daven shenema. Sedek lefonov yahaleich v'yosem lederech pa'omov. V'omar avidi ba'ovin, omar av Yitzchak barashian, kol ha-mispalel v'achakach yoytze lederech. If you daven and only then travel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu oysa lo'ich hafeitzov. Then to the contrary, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will indeed take care of your need. Shenema tzedek lefonav yahalech v'yosem ederech ba'oma. But we did see, if you remember in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah says that if it's extenuating circumstances such that if you delay your travel till after davening, you're going to miss your travel, then you are indeed allowed to travel before as long as you say the brachis. So we suggested last time that maybe we could slightly extend that to even if you would be able to travel afterwards, but if it's going to cause a terrific inconvenience. If you remember the Shaila that we discussed, somebody would much rather go on the 7 o'clock bus to Yerushalayim than the 8 o'clock bus. Because if he goes on the 8 o'clock bus, he's going to get caught in the traffic. So he'd much rather go on the 7 o'clock bus and daven in Yerushalayim at 8. If indeed it will cause tremendous delay and a huge inconvenience, then yes, indeed, there'll be room to be makel for tell him, as long as you say your brachas at home before you travel, you may indeed travel, and then when you get to Yerushalayim, you daven there. The Mishnah Berurah pointed out that obviously we're talking about that when you travel to Yerushalayim and you get there, you'll still manage to find a minyan, number one, and you'll still manage to daven before the Seif Zman.
Can the Rav just repeat the part about the mouthwash with in regards to Yom Kippur?
Yeah, with regard to Yom Kippur, the bottom line is there's no room for leniency at all. Even if somebody is Mitzar Godel, the only leniency we saw in the Mishnah Berurah is that a person is allowed to swallow his saliva, which is in his mouth in Yom Kippur. But to wash out one's mouth, finished, one has to be uncomfortable. With regard to Tisha B'Av, there the Mishnah Berurah left the door open a little bit, but he stressed quite clearly it's only B'Mokim Tsa'ar Godel. B'Mokim Tsa'ar Godel. Now, I think it's fair to say that anybody is uncomfortable not to wash out their mouth first thing in the morning. So, obviously, that's not called a mokim tsar. If you're going to tell me the normal, regular discomfort that's called tsar, then what's the Mishnah Berurah telling you that it's generally osa? Who's it osa for? So, obviously, we're not talking about that. Everybody, including Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, yes, it's uncomfortable, and that's the whole idea. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. We're talking about extenuating circumstances. It's not going to be painful, but it's extremely unpleasant, extremely, the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah was, Tsa'ar Godel. So every person has to judge for himself what's considered Tsa'ar Godel. But again, even that is only on Shaar Ta'anisim or Tisha B'Av, but not with regard to Yom Kippur.
I remember reading about the yeshiva on Yom Kippur where every bacher had a little spittoon next to his shneder, and whenever he would accumulate saliva in his mouth, he would spit it out, so as not to even swallow his own saliva. Really machmir.
So I'll tell you the truth. The Mishnah Berurah that we saw says 100%, absolutely categorically, it's 1,000% mutter to swallow your saliva. Now, I must be honest, there is an opposing opinion. There is an opposing opinion. So if you ask me what is the halacha is its mutter. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. What should I tell you? I personally would feel absolutely repulsed if the person in front of me in Shul in Yom Kippur has a little cup there where he's going saliva collecting. It's you know, one has to know if it's going to be machmir, to be machmir at somebody else's expense.
Right.
I think it would put most people off if you have your neighbor in davening doing that. So if anyone wants to be machmir, beseder, good for him, so he should go to the back and go into the bathroom and do so in private. Especially, as I mentioned, the Mishnah Berurah does not even mention two opinions on the subject, and I think it's fair to say, lahalocha, it's absolutely mutter, that is the prevalent minhag, nothing to discuss. If somebody wants to be machmir, very nice, but there's no Indian of being machmir at somebody else's expense. You know, there is the beautiful story that Pesach Kron tells over. The great Magid, Reb Shalom Shvadron, Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha, who Pesach Kron and his family were very close to. Reb Shalom Shvadron once found himself in the United States for Pesach. And he ate the Seder night together with family Kron. Now, Pesach Kron's father passed away at a very young age. Passed away many, many, many years ago. So Pesach Kron's mother was an almana. She had with her for the Seder night her children and grandchildren. and Reb Shalom Shvadron. Now you can imagine, it was a big Seder table and it was taking a while, and they noticed that they're getting a bit close to Chatzos. And as we know, many people are makbid to have the Afikoman before Chatzos. So Rav Pesach Kron sort of waved his hands and gestured to the people around the table, you know, can we please get on with it? Because they assumed that Rav Shalom probably is going to want to be machmir, and they would feel very uncomfortable if, because of the whole delay, he would miss Chatzos. And when Rav Shalom spotted, he noticed that Pesach Kron was trying to speed things up, he gestured back to him, he said, no, whatever, just leave it, it's okay. This happened the second time again, when it was getting even closer to Chatzos, and you know, everyone around the table had to have their little tuppence worth, and Pesach Kron tried to, you know, speed things up, and once again, Reb Shalom Shvadron said, no, just leave them. And afterwards he explained, he said, listen, to eat afikoman by Chatzos is an issue of a derabbanon. To be metzair, an almona, is a da'iraisa. He says, who am I to be machmir for my chumras at the expense of the almona? You know, she's been working hard for Pesach. She wants to enjoy the family and all the children and the Seder night. Who am I now to speed things up in order to get my chumra in? Yes, I am normally machmir. It's a chumra, it's a derabbanon, surely not at the expense of an almona da'iraisa. So one has to know how to be machmir, when to be machmir, but one thing is for sure, if you're machmir on somebody else's expense, then it's probably not worth it. Now again, especially in the case that you mentioned, Rabbi Eliyahu David, the Mishnah Berurah paskens unequivocally that it's mutter, that is the prevalent minig across the board, and you're only the second person, Rabbi Eliyahu David, to have ever told me about this. Somebody else told me that he also saw the same thing in yeshiva, and he was repulsed, and it disturbed his whole davening on Yom Kippur. I can well identify with that.
I've never seen it myself. I just read about it once. So.
Right. I give you a bracha. You should never see it. It's not a pleasant thing.
And amazing.
Somebody wants to be machmir, you can machmir for himself, but not at somebody else's expense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in plenty of shuls where you see people spitting by Aleinu different times.
So that's something. That's different. That's the minag of Chabad, mainly.
Right.
Minag of Chabad. Because they have a slightly different text, Nosach Sfarad, also say it in Olenu, Lehevel Varik. Varik is like roik and spit. Again, if that's the minag of the shul, then, you know, as a visitor, I can't come and protest it. But if somebody asks me in our shul, should we introduce a new minag of spitting on the floor during Olenu, you know, no, we'll look for other minhagim.
I would find that hard to swallow.
Not a pleasant thing. You know, there are plenty of other chumras. I don't think we need to look for extras. You know, if we're already discussing the subject, it's a very timely message. It's a very timely message because when it comes to this time of year, and we're all trying to be mischazik in tshuva and be mekabel on ourselves, our kabbalis. A lot of time and thought needs to go into what it is we're going to be mekabel. Are we being mekabel that which is me'ikah din, or are we being mekabel that which is only a chumrah? Sometimes we might not know what is me'ikah din and what is a chumrah, so we have to look it up or ask our Rebbe. One has to be very, very careful. If one is mekabel chumras, then it's a great shame, because it could be at the expense of that which is more important. There is a phrase that goes around sometimes, and it's not true. You ask somebody, you know, well, why are you being machmir? You're not mukhuyev to. And very often the response is, you're right, I'm not, but it doesn't harm. It doesn't do any damage. That's actually a mistake. It's actually a mistake. Because we're all human beings, and there's a limit to how much we become mekabel on ourselves. So if we're mekabel on ourselves, a chumrah and another chumrah and another chumrah, the likelihood is it'll be at the expense of something else more significant. And the way we ease our conscience is, well, at least I'm mekabel that chumrah. You know, when I went to yeshiva, my father spoke to me before I went to yeshiva, and he said, listen, you go into yeshiva now, and there's sometimes an atmosphere with bochrim, you know, basically it's a chumrah competition. Who could be the most machmir? And my father warned me against. And he told me then, it's a very famous pshat, but it's a very important pshat in a Gemara. You all know this Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin says that one of the Amoraim, Mar Ukva, said, I am vinegar, the son of wine. I'm vinegar. But my father is vintage wine, and look at me. So why is my father so special and I'm not? So he says, because my father used to wait between eating basar and cholov 24 hours. He used to wait a whole day. And he says, look at me, I only wait from one suda to another suda, which, by the way, is the makoyer of the whole 6 hours, etc., etc. So what was he saying? My father is a tremendous tzaddik, big machmeh, he waits 24 hours, and I, Nebuch, only wait 6 hours. So my father asked me, and this is the famous question, why was he bemoaning it? So why can't he just wait 24 hours himself? Wait 24 hours, and then you will be like your father. What was he saying? Ah, terrible spiritual state I found myself in. I'm not machmir. So be machmir. My father told me then, no, that's what he was saying. Of course he could have been machmir, but that wasn't appropriate for his level, and that's what he was bemoaning. Of course I can be machmir, I can be a parrot, I can imitate somebody else, but that's not me. And what he was bemoaning was that for my father, his spiritual madrega is such that for him 24 hours is an appropriate chumrah, but for me it's not. And because it's not, that's why I haven't been mekabel on myself that chumrah. I can do, of course, it's very easy to, and then I'll mimic my father. So that's what my father told me then at the time. You know, as you know, some people have, you know, their payas round the back of their ear. You know, especially amongst the Litvisha circles. Amongst the Yekas, it was never done. I remember when I was in Gateshead, some of the Rosh Hashivas never had it, some did. My family minhag was certainly not to have payas behind the ears. And my father told me, he said, please, do me a favor. Don't go to yeshiva and come back in 2 months later with these, you know, whopping two trees behind your ears. Because it's clearly a very superficial chumrah. You're doing it because of fashion. It has no meaning or depth to it. And you make your Avodas Hashem into a joke. Somebody's going to be machmir because he looked into halacha and then he thinks this is the right... You know, then maybe with very, very careful consultation and then you should seek guidance and then maybe you should do so. But we have to consider very, very carefully before we take on chumras. You all know from the Groshul, Rabbi Fisher, Rabbi Avraham Fisher. If you haven't seen him, you definitely will at least heard him. So he once told me an amazing thing. He told me that he was once doing decorations at home. And he had a totally secular, irreligious worker in his home. Working, coming every day to do some painting or fixing. They once got into a conversation and the worker, this decorator, said to Rabbi Fisher, he said, listen here, I have a large sum of money which I'd like to give to Tzedakah. Can I give it to you to pass on? I'm sure you have connections, you have people you can give it to. And it was a very large sum of money. He told me 1,000 shekel or more. They got into conversation and Rabbi Fisher felt, you know, brave enough. And he said to him, he said, tell me, did you put tefillin on this morning? To which he answered with a half smile, no, but I gave a lot of tzedakah. So that is a classic case in point. There is no chiyuv to give that amount of tzedakah. There is a chiyuv to put on tefillin. So how did he ease his conscience? He knows full well he's supposed to put on tefillin. But it's not so bad, you can mitigate it. Why? Because I gave a lot of tzedakah. It's a chumrah, it's a wonderful thing. But if the chumrah ends up being at the expense of what is me'ikar hadin, then you actually lose more than you gain. So the next time you hear from somebody, I'm being machmeh because it doesn't harm, you have to take a deep breath and think whether that's really true, because sometimes it does harm. We all know where we need chizuk, and we have to make sure that we're mechazek the areas where chizuk is really, truly needed, and not just to be machmir. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. I guess this is the last shiur of this year. So we'll resume. We'll see maybe on Monday. Monday is Soim Gedalia. So I guess we'll see how everybody's feeling after Rosh Hashanah. See either on Monday or on Tuesday. And meanwhile, I hope to speak to you all before Yom Tov. But either way, nothing wrong with giving a bracha to everybody. We shall have a ksiva chasima toiva. All our tefillah should be answered. L'toiv, ul'ratzon, wherever you're davening. And with whom you're davening. Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to all tefillahs, the yachid and the tzibur. And all of our tefillahs should be neskabel. We should daven on our own behalves, on behalf of others as well who need our tefillahs. And we should just hear Mitz Hashem, Basura's tables for everybody.
Amen. Is there a shiur tomorrow? Is there a shiur tomorrow night?
Yes, there'll be a shiur Mitz Hashem tomorrow night on the subject of Rosh Hashanah, yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay, shiur koach.
Be well, everybody.
See you soon.
Thank you.